Now, you moved onwards and upwards from Gloucestershire to the RFU committee. I think followed Tom Voice.
Yes, that's right.
We haven't talked about Tom Voice at all, and
no.
Obviously, I would argue the greatest player ever for Gloucester.
Yes.
Did you ever see him in his playing days?
No, I didn't. Neither he nor Arthur Hudson did I see, right. but they were different years, and there wasn't the widespread playing of the game that there is or has been since the last war. World War II.
So when did you first get to know Tom Voice?
Tom, I got to know as soon as I went on the Gloucestershire. Well, I knew him before that. I knew him when I played for England. I mean, he always made himself known. Of course he did. But I've known Tom, I suppose, on and off since I came back from London in 1954, put it that way, when I went on the Gloucestershire Committee. That's when I first got really well known. Right. With Tom.
And what sort of a man was he?
Tom, a very likeable man. He, and very knowledgeable about his, once again, about the game. I drove Tom in the car, in my car, round different dinners, all up and down the country. When I was on the county committee, he'd say, "You wouldn't mind help me out, would you? And I've got a bit of a problem, And, come along with the Albrecht that you brought in." And we did. We'd go up to Moseley, or we'd go down to the Forest of Dean, or we'd go down to Somerset, or wherever, Bath, and something like that. And I'd drive him, because he had this eyesight problem.
Did he ever tell you stories of his playing career?
Many, many. I daren't.
Please do.
I daren't.
Oh, this is a gold mine,
JV. Oh, it is a gold mine. Yes, I've got to be careful. No, I'll tell you one then. Because this is the one that everybody wants to know. What happened when England played New Zealand in 1924 and the Welsh referee sent off the All Black? I said, "What part did you play in that, Tom?" And there was absolute silence. I said, "Come on, Tom. What about it?" Silence. And he never would tell. And of course, the more he kept silent, the worse I thought. So that's all I'm going to tell you.
Yes. So he did successfully bury that one.
He did indeed. He did indeed. He had no intention of bringing that one out.
Yeah. Did Tom talk to you at all about his playing days at Gloucester?
No. The only other one that I, a story that I think I'm prepared to say about Tom, because once again it's because there's something very personal. There was someone, the tours. I went through all his tours of South Africa with the Lions tour. And
that was my next question.
Yeah, mine too.
You're not
going to
get that one. No, you're not going to get that one. No, those tours are definitely too private. But Tom did tell me. I said, "How did the referee get on with players when there was real problems on? And how close were was the captain, and how strong were the captains?" "Good point," he said. "I'll tell you what happened when we played Wales on one occasion. And Wavell Wakefield was the captain. And he said they had a go at me. They wanted to get..." And don't forget, Tom was never 13 stone in weight. And when you look at his photographs, you'll find a very lean man. And he was only 12 stone 10 or 12 stone 12 or something like that. He never reached 13 stone, he told me. But Tommy was very strong. And Wales decided they weren't going to have his nonsense. He had to be sorted out. And they did, I better not say this, what they actually did. But it got bad to the point that Tom was being treated by the attendant coming on the field. That he'd had a bit of a sorting out. And it happened the second time. And at the second time, he said, Wavell went up to the referee and said, "If you don't stop this, I'm taking my team off the field." And he was from England v Wales, international. "If you don't do something about this, referee, I'm taking my chaps off the field. Do I make it clear?" And the referee looked him in the eye and realised he did mean it. And sorted it out. But he wouldn't have done. And that's one of the bad sides of the game.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's a very strong side in favour of Wavell Wakefield's captaincy, which I think was brilliant, personally. And Tom said so too. Tom said, no, he saved me. He said I was in for an afternoon.
That tour to South Africa, he clearly made a big impression.
Yeah.
And seems to have made a lot of friends in South Africa as well as a result of it.
Tom was a very likeable man, and he was very popular because, of course, everybody knew him as a player and how strong and good. And he was really one of the first ever open side wing forwards. So there were only two or three of them doing that sort of thing, coming away from the scrum and leaving all the strong boys in the pack while they roamed around the field to great success. So he was a forerunner, and he got 27 caps for England at a time when to get one cap was pretty good. Three caps in a season, that could be nine, it could have been nine, but it wasn't, it was about 7 or 8 years of rugby he played at the top.
Yeah.
Now today you get 100 caps without any trouble at all playing that length of time. But those days, 27.
Tom is often described as the father of modern wing forward play.
Well, that's the point.
I mean, how do you interpret that?
Well, as I say, he's roaming around. He was the chap who roamed around the field. Didn't get too involved in scrummaging hard and all that sort of thing. Tom, as I'm told, was a leaner on the pack, waiting to sprint off and cause havoc amongst the backs.
Hmm.
And then start the movement going again. And then doubling on running. Very fit. Quite fast, apparently, and very fit. But I never saw him play, sadly. No.
What was his impact, though, later in administration of rugby?
Tom always had the problem of eyesight, and it was never easy for him to chair a meeting because, of course, having to, he'd have to get quite close to it and was reading like this. You can't chair a meeting easily. He'd find it difficult.
But nevertheless made it to be president of the
RFU.
Yes, he
did. But once again, it was Gloucestershire that saved him. They tried to bypass him because they could see that there was going to be a problem. Somebody who was junior to him got put up as junior vice president. And Clifton Rugby Club, of all people, had a fellow who, what was his name? George McWattis, who was the captain of the... he's either captain of the club or he was secretary or something like that. Something's quite senior. But George McWattis was the head of John Harvey. And he proposed to the rugby union, got Gloucestershire Union to second it, that Tom Boyce be put up. And they challenged it. And the deal was done. And they said, no, we'll save you to the bother of bringing that in. And we'll make sure that Tom gets it next year, which he did. But they did try and push him around and push him off. Tom actually stayed a very long time. He was still on the committee. In 1970, I think you'll find, he did 9 or 10 years on the committee after becoming president. And they did it because I think they wanted him, that's right, they wanted him to, he wanted, he said, look, could you leave me on one more year? Because that's the centenary year, which was 1971.
Yeah.
So they must have done, that's right, in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that was still on the committee after 10 years, which now, of course, when I was on, they brought it down to 4 years. And then now, I think it's immediate past president and off.
Yeah. Did you talk to him about South Africa?
Oh, he knew my views. Oh, no, he knew my views.
Right.
He didn't argue with me. No, he didn't, funny enough. No, he didn't. He just took my... He said, what's your view then? And I told him, that was the end of stories.
Yeah. Thank you very much, JV. That's been a very entertaining, interesting session.
I'm glad I haven't been pressed to tell all the stories that I could have told because...
Perhaps we should come back again.
I can see Tom Boyce up there, so do dare.